ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This Saturday, the 18th day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. The Amina schools masjid in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso local government area of Niger State, Nigeria. Where insha'Allah ta'ala we shall continue from where we stopped. We have read Surah Al-Ma'idah. We are reading Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth verse chapter of the Noble Quran. We have read that up to the 12th verse, I think.
No.
Yes. We were explaining it yesterday when we ran out of time. So inshallah ta'ala we'll take it again and then hopefully go through it and continue. Inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل وبعثنا منهم اثني عشر نقيبا وقال الله إني معكم لئن أقمتم الصلاة وآتيتم الزكاة وآمنتم برسلي وعزرتموهم وأقرضتم الله قرضا حسنا لأكفرن عنكم سيئاتكم ولأدخلنكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار فمن كفر بعد ذلك منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل.
Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. Allah says, ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل وبعثنا منهم اثني عشر نقيبا وقال الله إني معكم لئن أقمتم الصلاة وآتيتم الزكاة وآمنتم برسلي وعزرتموهم وأقرضتم الله قرضا حسنا لأكفرن عنكم سيئاتكم ولأدخلنكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار فمن كفر بعد ذلك منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل. So, of course, we have read and we have started explaining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here about an occasion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually made a promise to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that they were going to be handed over the land that is sanctity, if you like, the holy land to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is, of course, in Sham, that's the Baitul Maqdis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them that. And then he sent along with him 12 leaders of their tribes, you know, leaders, war leaders, or commanders, if you like. And like we said, we do not want to go into some of the stories that some people have made up concerning this. We just simply leave it as that because Allah leaves it to us as that. The stories we are getting are not authentic. We don't want to get into them. This is the danger with taking up a tafsir that you have not been taught and then just rendering the tafsir with it, because you tend to want to read out everything that is written. And sometimes you find that some of those things are actually, even by the authors, they would have explained that they are not sure of the authenticity of such stories. There are stories that people keep giving, but if they are Israeliyat, we prefer not to talk about them because we are not sure of their truth, neither are we sure of their lies. So, فَمَنْ اِتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِلْدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. So that's why we pass through that. But then, the important thing to us, which we started discussing yesterday, is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made them a promise, this land I give to you, you will go and occupy it. Of course, to have given him such people means he is going to be challenged. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him to overcome those challenges from the people that may want to stop them from entering or things like that. So, but they will win, they will be victorious, and they will stay in that land. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives conditions. So if anybody wants Allah to assist him, of course you do what will make Allah assist you, so that that assistance will be positive for you here and in the hereafter. There are blessings that people receive on this earth, and sometimes they even think that those blessings are a pointer to the fact that Allah likes them. But Allah does not like them. There is some that is istidraj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gives you so that you enjoy everything on earth. But when you come to him, you will have nothing. Because in the first place, you did not seek the akhirah from him. You sought only the dunya. And so he gave you dunya, but in akhirah, you will go and miss azabul muhim. A'udhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a condition. One of the conditions is, Allah first of all said, Inni ma'akum, I will assist you. I've given you a task, and I'm going to assist you to overcome. I'm going to assist you to win, to succeed, to achieve what I said you are going to achieve. But the condition I'm giving you is, la'in aqamtum as-salata, first of all, you will perform the salah. Not only will you perform the salah, you will establish the salah. Iqamatu salah is different from just performing salah itself. It's not necessarily just performing salah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aqim as-salah, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alladhina in makkannahum fil ardi aqamu as-salata. Iqamatu salah here is not just that they perform salah themselves, because he's talking about leadership. So if you are a leader and you are asked to do the iqamatu salah, it's not the kind of iqama, it's not iqamatu salah now, it's iqamu salah wa itau zakah, as they say. So if they say aqama salah, it means he established the salah. The establishment of salah for us now starts from our homes. If you only perform salah, but your family does not perform salah, what happens to your own salah? It has a problem. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ, right? وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. So it's not only that you should pray, but you should also establish the prayer in your house. So you have to command your ahl. Your ahl will be your wife. This is where the Shia goes astray. They say that, they say that they follow the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, but then they do not like his wives. And the wives are the foundation of the family. Once you do not respect the woman in the house, you have nothing to do with the house, because they are the mainstay of the house. The man of the house does not stay inside the house. It's the woman that controls the house. That's why the houses in which they are married are called their houses. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. They did not build the house. They did not build the apartments in which they live. But Allah is calling the apartments their own. So, but then the Shia would say, they respect the Ahl of the Prophet, but not his wife. And this is where they miss it. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to establish the Salah. So if you want Allah to assist you, what you have to do first of all is make sure that Salah is intact. And it's first of all you, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. It's first of all you. You have to make sure that the Salah you perform is the one that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam performed in his time. Because he used to say, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Now, Iqam al-Salah is a big thing. We have demonstrated it before. So we are not going to go over the demonstration of Salah again. But then, of course, there are important things that people leave behind in Salah, which in the first place will render their Salah useless. Because in the first place they haven't even gotten into the Salah, or they are not doing it well. You know, things like the niyyah of Salah. You have to understand what the niyyah is. That you come and say, Nawaitu Salat kaza kaza kaza, it's not the niyyah at all of the Salah. The main thing that is important about Salah is, why are you performing it? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفًا. So the ikhlas with which you perform Salah, the intention with which you perform Salah, is what will determine whether the Salah is accepted or not. The aspect of intention that people leave, which will render the whole Salah useless, it's a terrible thing. You leave that side, and that side is the one that Allah wants you to emphasize. You do it for the sake of Allah. So it's not that when you see somebody, you perform it. When the person is not around, you do what you like. Or that when the person is around, you do it well. When he's not around, you do it as you like. Or you don't even perform it at all. Like I said, the ulama say, these ones, they do not even have the Salah at all. They are not even Muslims in the first place. If you do not worship Allah, and unless somebody is around there. وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ, and you give zakah. Zakah, and that one is not many people that have the wherewithal to give it. But those who give it, the government is supposed to, if you have power in any place, it's supposed to be the responsibility of government to see that people give zakah, not as they wish, but Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be given. I've always told our people who give zakah today that, wallahi, if I had my way, I would have been able to say, okay, if this is how you're going to continue giving zakah, better hold it and don't give anybody, just use it. And then when you go to Allah, you explain. Because people are not ready to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. In the time of Umar bin Khattab, not even zakah, just sadaqah that the government will give people, one person used to be given 400 dinars. He could give one person 400 dinars at the time for his contributions to Islam. How much is 400 dinars now? One dinar is how much now? Huh? Check Ismail. How much is one dinar now? Rubu dinar is how much? Huh? 4-5. What is 4-5? 4,005. Rubu dinar? Hey, are you in Nigeria? Are you saying $4,500 or naira? Naira, dollars. Ah, no, you are not in Nigeria. Rubu dinar, 227,000 naira. You are saying for 4,500. You are not in Nigeria. Or were you sleeping? So 225,000 in four places, that's how much now? That's 900,000 naira times 400. Is how much? 900,000 times 400. Tell me now, you're looking at me. Alarama. Times 400. 316 million only. You didn't say only. Only 316 million. You used to give 1%. And that's how it should be now. So now, if the government was to supervise it, and you say, okay, we want to give orphans, or we want to give the destitute, or we want to give this, we count them. We say, okay, 1%, since there is no much money, and very many people are poor, 1%, you, this year, you manage 20 million. We won't give you again. We'll be looking forward to collecting from you after some time. We're done with you. We'll go to the next set of people. Like that and like that. You have heard of somebody that, a Nigerian, that a Saudi gave him zakah, 500,000 riyals. Huh? 500,000 riyals. That's how much now? Times 450. That's how much, Sheikh Ismail. I'm just making you mention millions today. Maybe you are going to make millions today, oh. Sheikh Ismail. So 225 million you gave him, 1%. We're the ones that are actually impoverishing ourselves. Our rich people, some of them, the zakat that some of them give is more than a billion naira. But they will give 1% 5,000 naira. What's the meaning of that? They are giving zakat to your people. Maybe the people you have, if you just choose like 200 people this year, say this year I will give 200 people zakat. And you're giving them 1 billion. How much will each person get? How many people did I say? 200. Is it not much if you're giving 200 people zakah? Say in your locality, you take 200 and then you want to give each person out of that 5 billion, 1 billion. Just 1 billion. How much will each person get? 5 million. 5 million. Some of them give zakah of up to 5 billion. That man that Aminu Dora gave his story. That man whose story Aminu Dora gave said when the man died, that when they were calculating his wealth, they wanted to know exactly how much the man had. They said, it's going to take time, or the judge was talking to the heirs in the court. He said, it's going to take time. Before we ascertain how much he has, you will take a lot of time. You will not get your money. So there is some little cash here now. We want you to get something out of it. And there were, what are 16 or so of the children? Can you remember the story? You must have heard the story now. It's everywhere. It's a viral story. How many? 16 of them or so. I can't remember. So he said, you just manage this one before we calculate and see how much he had, because there's a lot in, on the ground. But the little cash that, he was coming, little cash, he said each boy will get 14 million naira. That kind of person, if he was given the car, how much do you imagine he was supposed to have been given every year? How much? That's a little percentage of the money. Oh, that little percentage, that one that the Alkali is saying is very little, is about a billion. Oh, and it's nothing, it's just so that they'll get something before they're able to ascertain exactly how much he has. This one that died in Kano recently, some of his heirs, maybe some people got up to 3 trillion naira in cash. Not the property. The properties are more than the cash.
Mm.
The properties they inherited are far, far more than the cash. So maybe some people just manage 3 trillion naira amongst the girls. So if some such a person is given the car, how much should he be given? How can you come and start giving people 10,000, 1,000, 5,000, 50,000? You are impoverishing yourself, you are impoverishing them. Because every day they'll come back to you. If you give one person 20 million naira in Nigeria, he will never look at you again. Huh? You give somebody 20 million. Next year, inshallah ta'ala, he will have 35 million or 40. Nigerians are farmers. People have ideas. It's just that we should be good to ourselves. All these things that Allah tells us, because people do not really take their time to analyze them. If we were to follow these things that the Quran says, life would be easier for all of us. And you see those rich people in Saudi that give that kind of zakat. Wallahi, they sit by the roadside. In Saudi, they sit by the roadside and discuss with people. And poor people will be passing them by and say, Ya Shaykh, Salaam Alaykum. Alaykum As-Salaam. Kayf Halak? And they just pass. Nobody sits by his side. Nobody sits by his side. They don't need him. They have enough money to do things themselves. The poorest people in Saudi, you see their cars, there's AC in it. These are kurikura that they use to do manual labor, or to do small work, to take some things in Saudi. I have been in some of them. Almost all of them have ACs in them. Their ACs are functional. You go to the houses of the owners of those cars that are looking at it. You go to their houses, there is AC in every room. The poorest people, they enjoy all these things, they have nothing. And that is because the rich people have Islam in their minds. لَإِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِهِ وَكَذَا وَكَذَا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. In another place, فَقُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. This is the istighfar. Following the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the main istighfar you do. Once you do that, Allah will forgive your sins and now Allah will enrich you. And things will be easier for us all. So, إِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ. Ita'u zakah is, first of all, the zakah of the ruh. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That's the first one. Then the second one is zakat al-mal, that we know. We'll pass through that. وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي, right?
No.
And then you believe in my messengers. We started talking about that yesterday.
No.
Believing in the messenger, al-Iman, in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is first of all believing in the Quran that he came with. You have to believe in the book that he came with. You have to believe in him as one who does not speak out of his wings. So everything he says, you do not doubt. And part of belief in him, وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ. You do not only believe in him. There has to be that reverence in your heart for him. Respect that you have for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be in the highest. So the way we hold on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we prefer his living to our living, so we can give our life for him. That's how the Prophet is obeyed and respected. And everything from him, everything that comes from him is no different from what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sit up. What are you reciting while we are doing this? Everything that comes from him is not different from that which comes from Allah. To follow the Quran means to follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When you have some people today saying they believe in the Quran but they do not believe in the hadith, these people do not also believe in the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never separated believing in the Quran from believing in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They are one and the same thing. That's why ulama have written books that they call Sunnatul Rasul Shakikatul Quran, in which they tell you that the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like this with the Quran. They are like brothers with the same father and mother. They only say Shakik. Same father, same mother. So they are same blood. That's what they are saying. So that the words of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam are actually not his. It's Allah that also says so. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ أَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. So all his nutuq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we follow them like that. In the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because this was told to Musa, I'm applying it to us now, but to the people of Musa, it was supposed to be like that too. Allah knew that they were going to be stubborn people. That's why he was already giving them that condition. That if you want to succeed, I'm sending you on this mission. But what will make you succeed in the mission will be that you will never disobey your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But they did. And that is why they never succeeded. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell Musa, tell them this, they will say, no, we will not do that. This is what we want. So it's the same thing that will apply to our own generation. That when the Prophet speaks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should not be coming with your own understanding. That's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you bring anything strange to this religion, Allah will not accept it. You have to do exactly what he did. So if that's your understanding, gets you to deviate from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet to tell you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is null and void. وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُهُمْ وَأَقْرَبْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْبًا حَسَنًا. And then you lend Allah a good loan. You give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a good loan. You see, part of the reasons why we succeed is that we are able to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who enriches us. If you have anything, it is from Allah. And so you are ready to give it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he asks you for it. You will not be like the child. Because the child, if you were to give him 10 balls of akara now, and you were to say, give me one, what will he do? Huh? He will put the hand behind like this. He say, I will not give you. And you just gave it to him now. This is how many of us behave today with the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it were something that we want to eat or we want to benefit ourselves, we spend a lot on that. If it's going to be for us and our children. But when it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then people will just give the thing that if they were given the same thing, they would not like it. Somebody once came to me while I was in the hospital. I was on hospital admission. He came to me as his teacher. Somebody who teaches him the deen came to greet me. He was coming from the market. The money he made in the market, he brought it out. The ones he does not like. That time there was 5 naira notes. So the ones that were torn, were dirty, were smelly, he brought those ones out. He kept sorting them out from. I was watching him doing that while I was on my bed. He was bringing those out. He brought out like 10 notes or so, and then he folded them and said, I should take. Peace be in that. I said, no, I'm not interested. Yes, I said, I'm not interested. Go with your money. If you are sorting it out like that, you need it more than I do. So go on. He said, no, and I said, no, I don't like it. I'm not interested. What kind of rubbish is that? If somebody were to bring you money and give you like that, would you like it? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give me a loan, it's not because Allah needs it. First of all, he's testing your faith. Because for you to succeed, you have to believe in Allah. If you want Allah to grant you success, then you have to submit to him. One of the ways you submit to him is that you are ready to give him of that which he gave you. You are ready to do exactly what he wants, whether it pleases you or not. So when it comes to the issue of supporting the deen, our people in this field are very, very weak. All you want is for people to teach your children, to teach your wives, to teach you, to do this, to do that. What do you do about them? Nobody cares. And we want Allah to assist us. But to assist the deen of Allah, we do not want to do that. We're reluctant to do that. And that's a problem for us. May Allah assist us. So Allah says, if we do all of these, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will erase your sins. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases your sins, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases your sins, then what will happen to you? You will be without sin. If you are without sin, automatically you are done with this world. You have succeeded. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. You have succeeded. So you be a mu'min. And Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So to prosper is to no longer have your sins. And all of these things you will do in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to erase your sins. When Allah has erased your sins and has increased your reward and has given you assurance of Jannah, that is the only time that you now know that you will have victory over your enemies and that you will conquer and that all your problems, inshallah, will be solved because you have now grown beyond them. But when you are like the others, just like every other person, you have no guarantee of victory. May Allah grant us victory. لَأُكَفْرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. This is the success that every Muslim wants to achieve in his life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. You see, people like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they're asking Allah to forgive them. Look at Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. All he's asking is to die as a Muslim. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins and die as a Muslim. Nabi Ibrahim the same, Nabi Musa the same, Nabi Isa the same. Everybody is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness. The greatest of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, his greatest dua was Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwab ar-rahim. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي كله دقه وجله واوله واخره وعلانيته وسره. This is all that we seek in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all of that. So but then he says, وَلَوْدِخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ And we shall admit them into gardens beneath which rivers flow. فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ Whoever lives this way amongst you, some ulama will say, أَخْطَأَ قَصْدَ السَّبِيلِ Whoever commits kufr and leaves the deen, after all of these that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them, Allah is talking to the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but it also applies to us. فَقَدْ أَخْطَأَ قَصْدَ السَّبِيلِ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ means that he has left the straight path. So whoever is a kafir has left the straight path. The straight path that leads to Jannah. The straight path leads only to Jannah. So whoever strays from the straight path will never get to Jannah. Do we understand? So the issue of believing that there are some non-Muslims that may go to Jannah, this one is itself kufr. It is kufr. This belief is null and void. Anybody that did not believe in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on earth and he died, he will go to Jahannam and stay there forever. Anybody, no matter who he is, once he has heard of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and he refused to obey him and he dies like that, he will go to hellfire and he will be there forever. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ So then Allah says,
فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبُهُمْ قَاسِيَةً وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبُهُمْ قَاسِيَةً
قُلُوبُهُمْ
قُلُوبَ
I'm hearing قُلُوبُ
قُلُوبَ
Okay.
Twice. Yeah, قُلُوبَ
Okay. It's Ramadan that is disturbing me.
فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه ونسوا حظا مما ذكروا به ولا تزال تطلع على خائنة منهم إلا قليلا منهم فاعف عنهم واصفح إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
Allah says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ You see, there is a covenant between them and Allah now. These ones we are talking about. There is a covenant between them and Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, if you keep to your side of the covenant, this is what I shall do for you. So it's conditional. If you do what Allah says, then I will do so and so for you. But if you don't, what happens? So Allah says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ So that when they refuse to keep their side of the covenant, لَعَنَّاهُمْ We cursed them. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً And we made their hearts dry. That is void of guidance. You know the story of the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah gave it also in Surah Al-Baqarah. When one of them killed his brother, you remember that story?
No.
So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Musa should tell them, Idbahu Baqara.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
Slaughter a ram, a cow. When you slow that account, Allah will do the rest for you. So instead of just first aluma to marun, as Allah wanted them to do, just do what Allah wants you to do. They started asking questions. قالوا دع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي. قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة كذا كذا كذا. قالوا دع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها. إن البقرة تشابه علينا.
نعم.
He still gave them that. إنه يقول إنها بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين. قالوا دع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي إن البقرة تشابه علينا وإنا
إن
شاء الله
لمهتدون.
They kept saying all of that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us that story, Allah told us all that He did to them and how their problems were solved and how they were able to know exactly all that they wanted to know. And after everything, what did Allah say? ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. So when somebody gets to this level, the thing that gets somebody to the level of his heart being void of any guidance, because that is the qaswa here, that there is no guidance again and there is no room for it. So one is able to do anything. Like these bandits we have in the forest now that are torturing people and handling people the way they want. The thing with them is that there is no guidance again in their hearts. There is no provision for any compassion, any mercy, any consideration, nothing. Let alone issues like respect. There is no issue of respect. Somebody that does not have mercy in his heart cannot have respect. The thing that gets people to that is when you do not respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. When you do not have any connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do just what you want. That's what happens to you. At the end of the day, any trace of iman is removed from your heart. Because what brings iman to the heart is the Quran. Once you have distanced yourself from the Quran, you do not know the Quran, let alone know what it means, and then let alone even talk of practicing it, worry about practicing it. When all of this happens to one, this is what happens. So when they refuse to keep to Allah's covenant, meaning that all of the things that Allah said they should do, they refuse to do. They refuse to help the deen of Allah. Because when you are on a journey like that, you have to be ready to use all you have to support the cause so that there will be success. But everybody wanted to be selfish. Everybody wanted to keep their earning to themselves. And nobody wanted to help the deen of Allah. So of course Allah said, فَبِنَقْضِهِمْ نِفَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. The curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of them, is to remove iman from the heart of man. Once iman is removed from the heart of any man, that person is cursed. And that is the worst curse that anybody can have. Because once Allah does that to him, it means he will not deserve the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can have it here on earth, but the rahmah of Allah in heaven he will never have. He doesn't deserve it at all. Says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ نِفَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. And then we made their hearts void of any guidance. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, they interpolate the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then forget all that they were commanded to do. وَلَا تَزَالُ تَطَّلِعُ عَلَىٰ حَائِنَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. And you will never see, you will never stop to see defeat from them, except a few of them. So the way that cursed people behave, when you want to know whether you are cursed or not, one of the things you notice about yourself, and you will know that you are probably cursed, is that you are very deceptive. You are never honest. You are never sincere. You are very deceptive. You are not truthful. If you are like that, there may be a sign that you are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least you are far from guidance. And when Allah speaks, you try to change the implication of Allah's speech. You interpolate it to suit your wings. These are signs of the lack of iman in one. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forgive them, wasfa, and do not seek any revenge against them. Just let them be. Because no matter how angry Allah gets, once somebody has not gone to the great beyond, it is possible for Allah to stay with us and forgive them. Once Allah has not closed the door to his rahmah to that person, the person could sin many times, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still want to forgive, because هو الغفور الرحيم. Then he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the good doers. We shall see insha'Allah ta'ala how this will be concluded. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Before then, insha'Allah, tomorrow. We'll run out of time, so we'll stop here. May Allah forgive our numerous mistakes. Whatever we said that was right, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us. We told our listeners, both here and online, that we need cameras for the works that we're doing. And we have not received enough support to be able to purchase those cameras. Please, anybody that can, should support us with them. If one person can buy the cameras, the rest will just rest. So just give us the cameras that will make these works easy, because we don't have good phones and all that to record these things as we would want them to go. So we need your assistance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us all. Okay, so this one says, may Allah increase me in knowledge. I mean, regarding Muslims seeking political offices like Senate or Red House, which involves making laws contrary to Islamic principles, scholars have differing views. Some Muslims avoid the system, believing democracy is kufr, and won't participate in voting, aiming to oppose Islamic values. What is the status of these groups? So, it's okay for one to shun whatever one knows is an ill practice. Anything that you know is evil, is not only okay, it's compulsory that you shun it as much as you can. This issue of the laws of the land, they are not new to us. Sahaba lived in Darul Kufr. They lived there when they went to do da'wah. What did the Prophet say they should do? Did he say, do not have anything to do with them? Do not obey their laws in their markets? Do not obey their laws in their residences? Do not do this, do not do that? Just go and fight them? Is that what he said? No. No. There are provisions for Muslims to live under all Islamic circumstances when there is nothing you can do about it, and to contribute your quota as much as you can, to change whatever you're able to change until such a time that you're strong enough to topple the government and then establish the government of Allah. Before you are able to do that, the obedience or your mixing with them will not be when you do not need to. It should be only when you have no choice. Concerning issues that you have no choice about. If you say, okay, you are not going to participate, so Non-Muslims will be the senators. Non-Muslims will be the reps members. Non-Muslims will be this and that, everything. This thing that they went to America to do, and to say that we Muslims are killing the Christians. If we had no people in government, what do you think would have happened? How will you be able to uphold the provisions of Islam under such circumstances? How? How will you do it? Why do you think that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his time was praying for one of the mushrikun to embrace Islam, to come into Muslims, so that he will help Islam, using their position? They will use their position to help Islam. And the position is under an un-Islamic government. But he was hoping that they would use it to assist Islam. Abu Talib was not a Muslim, but the power that he had, which he was using to stop people from harming Islam, was useful to Islam. That's why it is said that even though he's in hellfire, that he is going to be in above the lightest part of the hellfire. Because of the contributions, he was able to use his office to make to the growth of Islam. So we should know that these things, as individuals, we have no power. And issues that have to do with our collective existence need some political power. There's nothing you can do about it. That's why people like Uthaymeen, the fatwa that they were giving in the beginning, is kufr to participate, is this and that. At the end, they started saying, they think that the best thing for Muslims to do will be to be part of it, so that they will leave. Because if they do not, things will be worse for the Muslims. The things that were happening to Burma, that is now Myanmar, the things that were happening to many people like that in different places, the kind of torture and everything that they persevered was because they had no say, they had no power in the affairs of the state. But remember that when Muslims were persecuted in Mecca, they left Mecca and went to another Darul Kufr. And then they went and sought asylum there and were obedient to the leader in that place before at least things turned around. So if you are weak, there are some compromises you must make. They are not normal. Under normal circumstances, you shouldn't do that. But if you are not in normal circumstances, فَمَنْ اِبْتُرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So this is the understanding that most ulama have, which is why you still find even conscious Muslims participating. Not because they believe the thing is good. There are aspects of it that are bad and should have been like this and like that. But they are not like that. If you're living in Nigeria now and you're not participating in democracy, is democracy not participating in you? Democracy decides everything you do. If you establish an Islamic school, democracy decides how it operates.
Sure.
So that you did not go to join politics has not freed you from democracy. That is the thing, because you have no choice. So you participate in it in the sense that you'll be able to Islamize as much as you can. That's the aim. If not, of course, nobody argues that democracy is not Sharia. Nobody argues. How does one deal with fellow Muslims who mock at him, especially the ones who are his colleagues at places of work or school? What Allah says is, forgive them because they do not know. And do not be like them. If you are like them, we will not know the difference. The example they give is, if you are in the bathroom, public bathroom, you're having your bath, you hang your clothes. A madman comes and takes your clothes and starts running. What do you do? You come out and chase him? If you do, who will be the mad person? If you do so, you will be the mad person. And so when people behave like to you like that, just ask Allah to forgive them because they do not know. If they are Muslims, you can draw their attention to the danger in what they are doing. That mocking the Sharia of Islam, mocking somebody who is acting in accordance with the Sharia, is tantamount to kufr. And so you can lose your faith as a result of what you're doing. But then do not get angry with them. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ This is the peak of their knowledge. This is all they understand. They make a mockery of you because they do not see the value in what you're doing. And you should not be like them. Be patient with them. But then there are times that, you know, some people are obstinate. No matter what you do, they persist in their listening. And sometimes you want people to see that there's also something faulty about them. There are some tips that some ulama give sometimes. For instance, you will say, see your beard like Bunsuru, I mean, like he goat, like you say in Nigeria English, say he goat. What is a he goat? Billy. Huh? Says, see your beard like a Billy. Sometimes when you want to show the person some sense so that he'll stop what he's doing. Because people are different. There are some that you forgive them and they'll start feeling guilty. And then they'll correct their ways. What is making this mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. So they'll correct their ways. But some, you have to give them a little bit of the taste of what they're doing before they understand. So he says your own is like Billy. You say, well, it's okay. I'm a Billy. At least Billy is halal. You can slaughter a goat and eat. You are like a pig. Huh? Have you ever seen pig with beard? Huh? So which one is more painful now? Huh? So things like that. There are responses like that that if you want to know how to make such responses, you listen to Asim al-Hakim, that one in Huda TV. You can give such responses a lot. So, but it's better to forgive such people and just ignore them. Now, this one says, I have two questions regarding Zakatul Fitr. For someone working in Lagos, is it permissible for him to send money to his family in another state, for instance in Ibadan, so that they can use it to buy food and distribute it as Zakatul Fitr on his behalf? Yes, if they use it to buy grains, it's okay. It's not the money you're giving out. The controversy is on whether you can give money instead of the grain. And the safest thing is give the grains instead of the money. For an expatriate working in Nigeria, whose family, wife and children live in Pakistan, for example, how should he give his Zakatul Fitr? Send money to the family and ask them to buy grains there and give. Buy grains and give as the Catholic Fitr, that's all. And if you're here, you buy and give the people that are here with you. So on behalf of your family, you give and then they give to the people with them. Should he send money to his family in Pakistan? Yes, I think I've answered that. For a pregnant woman and nursing mother who can fast, can they combine the feeding of 30 people in one day? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Since they do not have hope that they'll be able to fast at all throughout the month, they can give everything at a go. It will be better even because the person that will receive it will have more use for it. This one says, is it permissible for a Muslim man to have henna on his body exclusively for him and his wife? I don't know. The only place I know you can apply henna is your beard. I know that one, but on your body, I don't know that. Do you know?
Thank Allah.
Huh? I don't know. If you know, there is nothing wrong in saying that. I don't know, but the beard, yes, I know that. If the beard is grey, you can dye it with henna. But on your body, I don't know. I know women to have been commanded to use henna on their palms and their feet and all that, but not men. I don't know that of men. You are true, right?
No.
Zillah is not your time. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم باسمائنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ابدا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا الى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا ولا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته